Well, Wairoa District Council has been working closely with the local iwi on a pioneering plan to stop mortuary waste entering waterways. Joining us now is the Wairoa Mayor, Craig Little. Hoki mai, Craig. It's good to talk with you again. Thanks for joining us again on Wate. Tēnā koe.
Oh, kia ora mai tātou. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Craig. Thanks for your time this morning. Craig, it's always been an issue how to dispose of mortuary waste. So in Wairoa, you've sparked a move to completely rethink how mortuary waste is handled in Wairoa. What's the background to this, please, Craig?
The background is, you know, we've had people out in the community, had some really good people fighting it, and probably, you know, as councillors do, they sometimes don't realise just how big this is, and it's been going on for quite a few years. So we've been working with the, I think they call themselves the waste, I think it's the Māori Wastewater Working Party, which has been fantastic. And, you know, they've been hard on us, and they had to be for us to listen way back. And it's really in a good place now. And, you know, it should probably should be done like that across the country, really.
Yeah, well, it's leading the way here, Wairoa. Do you see this becoming a model for other councils across the country? And I guess we should talk about that model. For years, obviously, it's just eventually ended up in the waterways. But now we are looking at a different model. Might you describe what the plan is, please, Craig?
Yeah, so basically the undertakers, they take keep it in a into a big container that gets taken up to the cemetery, then it's put into a tank, and then that has a field out up, and that'll just slowly discharge it into the ground around the cemetery and that. So it doesn't get into any waterways, really, and you know, it should have, like I say, should have, we probably should have done this years ago, as should have either the other council, because no one really talks about it. No one actually thought, gosh, wonder where that is all going.
Over time, I mean, I've never even thought about it myself. Where does it go? Or where has it been going?
Well, it's just like normal wastewater into the system. We treat it and then discharge it. And culturally, it's just not acceptable. And so we've thought, right, let's do it. And we've done it. And while we're still doing it, we're working on the whole system now.
Well, it's a request from our whānau Māori who call Wairoa home. I guess the wider community would be supportive of this way of disposing of that waste?
Oh, 100%. Look, the old government document, the Tumana or Tawai, you know, that's the health needs of the people and the water bodies and all that. So it totally aligns with that, totally aligns with what we're doing. And, you know, and I think people would be a lot, you know, happier, you know, knowing that their loved one's waste doesn't go into the river. It's actually totally, you know, discharged separately into a land system.
You mentioned that it was a challenging tone. Well, what would you speak about the advocacy that the Māori interests put forward to the table? Was it contentious around the decision-making frameworks at all, Craig? And is it an example of, you know, people's working together to acknowledge these cultural expectations? And what would you say of the level of advocacy that the Rōpū Māori that you dealt with in this matter provided?
Yeah, they really did, you know, they sort of, I guess we all woke up and thought, hell, is this really happening? And they went hard. There's, you know, Michelle McElroy and Katarina, you know, both of them fought really hard for this. And, you know, sometimes you just can't look at the cost. You've got to look at the benefits and the cultural benefits in this one. And it was, you know, they really held their ground. And that's why I say don't be afraid to listen to these advocacy groups, because sometimes they really know what they're talking to most of the time, actually.
Well, tēnā koe, it's an enlightened viewpoint, because we notice around council tables it's at times been very contentious when kaupapa Māori are raised looking for support. Were there those who didn't agree, or was this unanimously passed by council?
It was unanimously passed. It just took probably too long to be, you know, just to find a site and all that was suitable. But, you know, you can't. You know, there's an international, like national and international shift in the mortuary race practices. So you're a mug if you're going to put your head in the sand and not do anything. You've got to do something, and that's what we've done. And it just culturally, it just works out well for us. And, you know, it's not that big a job to do either. It's not that big a cost once we get it up and running.
Tēnā koe. I'm thinking of a buried tank. Is that what sort of cost might be involved?
Look, I don't think it's a huge job. Like, it has, you know, probably like a septic system, but a bit more swept up. I wouldn't know, but I think it's in, you know, the $50,000 to $100,000 range.
Well, thanks very much. It's encouraging, and hopefully others around the country will take note. Always grab the chance to talk about other matters. Wairoa is a proud town, but it's had its challenges in recent years, Craig. What other interesting moves are being made, challenges, or indeed goals that have been kicked by the council and the wider Wairoa community? What's the most pressing issues in town?
The biggest challenge is for us now is these government reforms, and little places like rural areas like Wairoa. The government said, hey, you guys, basically, you've got to look at amalgamating with someone else, or if you don't do it, we'll do it for you. Well, that just takes away democracy, as you know. It takes away the purpose of local government, and they haven't even asked themselves, the government hasn't, what's broken. And that's a real threat for us, because we're here so the decision makers can be close to the communities that are affected, and that's going to be taken away from us. And, oh, gosh, we're really worried about that one. That's our biggest one on the table at the moment.
Yeah, it would be too. So what would be a plan here? I thought it was pretty heavy-handed rhetoric as well from Chris Bishop about this forced amalgamation. No doubt you are working through potential relationships. What would be a natural grouping as far as councils are concerned? And how do you feel about this, in effect, forced merger?
Yeah, it's really difficult because we're in between Tarapiti and Hawke's Bay. We're supposedly part of Hawke's Bay, but we've got to also have connections with Gisborne as well. So it's really difficult for us. And, you know, we thought we might be able to look at, you know, going alone and or staying alone and just taking some of the roles and responsibilities of the regional council, because that's what's broken. The regional councils have really probably in our instance hasn't listened to Wairoa. And but yeah, we've got a long way ahead of us. So the first instance is in 3 months. Is that enough time to get out to your community? Probably not. And the government gives us all this legislation to work under, and they forget that they do that, and then they criticise us. So we'll be going out to our community. That's our number one thing. And that's if that's all we do in the next 3 months, well, bring it on. You know, because I don't believe it's there's any legislation to say that they can do what they're doing.
And of course, we're at an election year and less than 6 months away from that decision. Is it frustrating that deep into the term a demand like this comes, bearing in mind there could be changes that might stay the same as well, but there could be changes come November 7?
It's a hell of a concern, you know, because we had the amalgamation debate of Hawke's Bay over 10 years ago. The community voted, especially Wairoa, over 80%, a big fat no. Napier and Central Hawke's Bay, Hastings were just under the 50% against amalgamation, but the overall, 2 out of 3 people across Hawke's Bay said no. So why would they want it now? And what has changed? And, you know, we've been through significant weather events and we're still standing on our feet. We've really managed to recover well. And, you know, I think the government has forgotten what local government's all about, and it's about its people. You have the higher level up there in the central government, but if we're just going to, you know, ride roughshod over everybody, you know, the communities as we know will never be the same.
It's always a pleasure having you join us on the program. Thanks so much for your kōrero today, Craig. All the best until next time.
Awesome. You guys do well too.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Tēnā koe.